JB. So that was samsara. Just in one image, that was samsara. Everybody looking after themselves, nobody caring about anybody else. And this, of course, is exactly what the text is trying to work against. So the seventh verse talks exactly about the opposite of that. In brief, directly or indirectly, may I give all help and joy to my mothers. And may I take all their harm and pain. Secretly upon myself. So very strong words. May I give them all my happiness and help. May I take all their pain and suffering. So this is, of course, what we're doing in the bodhicitta practice. We're precisely giving other people our good deeds and happiness. And we're taking their pain and unskillful action. In traditional Indo-Tibetan Buddhism, this is a very, very central practice for developing bodhicitta. It's the way in which you cultivate the mind of the bodhisattva. It's called the practice of giving and taking. It's giving people your positive and happiness, and taking their negative actions and their pain on yourself. And you can see it's the exact opposite of what those five samsaris were doing. They were just taking for themselves, giving nothing to others, or giving only trouble to others. So what you saw there is the reverse of the bodhisattva's attitude. So let's look at this a bit more closely. The text says, may I give all help and joy to my mothers. Well, we've already gone into why we use this term, mother. We know that the teaching is that we've been born again and again since beginningless time. And so the teaching is that in the course of time, every single being will have been our mother or our father, perhaps many times. And well, why do they pick mother and father? Well, because your mother and father, they care for you when you're helpless. And especially this text refers to mother. Because usually your mother is the one who looks after you when you're most helpless. Just yesterday I was watching one of the monkeys with a newborn baby. It almost had no hair on its body, and it looked just like a human baby. And that little baby could do nothing for itself. It was so new that it couldn't yet hang on to its mother. And she was holding it on to her body as she was running around. And I was just watching how much care she took of that that baby. All the time she was protecting it. All the time she was just making sure the baby was comfortable. Helping it to get milk. And at one point some people came out of one of the huts and she ran away. But her first instinct was to turn her back on the people so they couldn't get the child. So she was just giving all her care and attention to that child. Well, most of us, for most of us, our mothers will have acted like that for us. Of course, some people, their mothers die at birth or they're not available for them. But somebody cares for them. A child that is not cared for cannot live. I was just reading a book that said that children whose parents didn't talk to them, whose mothers didn't talk to them, died. From the moment you're born, your mother is making noises and making sounds for you. If she doesn't do that, you can't live. We're entirely dependent on our mothers for the first years of our life. We all lay there just like that little monkey, unable to do anything by ourselves. And our mothers cared for us, or at least somebody cared for us like a mother. So if we extend that thought and realize that in the course of time, everybody has acted like that for us, it changes our attitude. We have usually at least tremendous love and gratitude to our mothers. Whatever she may have done later, when we really think about it, we feel great gratitude to her. So if we can recognize that everybody else has at one time cared for us in that way, we have the same gratitude and love for them. So this gets us out of our selfish attitude. Most of us will do a lot to help our mothers. The last 8 years, I looked after my mother. And, well, I know that I couldn't have done anything else. After all she'd done for me, I couldn't just leave her. After all she'd done for me, I couldn't just leave her. So, if we could think the same for other beings, that would change our attitude. Now, as I say, some people find it easy to think like this, others don't. But you could at least think, well, let me think of others as if they had been my mother. And try to change your attitude to them in that way. Almost everybody has at some stage looked after or cared for others. Nobody is so evil, so bad, that they haven't cared for or acted kindly towards somebody. So you put yourself in the person's place who they've helped. What we're trying to do is to generate in ourselves a strong feeling to help others. And if we can think of them as having been our mother at some point, that feeling is easy to generate. So just try it. I suppose you have been trying it because we've been doing the meditation. But just think, well, that person, at some point, he could have been my mother. He might have suffered tremendously just for my sake. Even giving birth is terribly painful. I was recently talking to a father who just become a father. And he was present when his child was born. And he said he couldn't imagine himself having the pain that his wife was bearing. So our mothers went through that pain in order to bring us into the world. So we think like this, and that gets us to appreciate others. Then we can think in another way as well to help us. We can think that whatever other people have done to us that's hurt us, they are part of the whole network that supports us. Just think, there are about 90 of us on this retreat. And for us to be able to have this retreat and to benefit from this retreat, all of us have to cooperate together. So maybe one person just didn't smile at you when you wanted them to. Or they did something that meant that when you were meditating, you were just thinking of your dislike of them. You're just waiting for the silence to end so that you can complain about them. But actually, even though they've done that one thing that's hurt you, they're also part of the whole situation that is supporting and helping you. Because we all cooperate together, we can have a good retreat. But it goes much further than that, doesn't it? We're, for instance, dependent on the work of the community. Poor Sunil, all the time trying to keep this PA equipment working. Public address system. And it's a lot of work. The equipment isn't proper, so he's all the time having to make it work. And the others, all the time they're working to help us to have a good retreat. And a lot of work goes into that. But it doesn't even stop there. They go out, they buy some provisions. And, they buy grain, for instance. Where does that grain come from? Well, first of all, it comes from the shop. And then there's the shopkeeper who looks after the shop. Then it probably comes from a wholesaler. So all the people in the wholesaler shop have helped us to eat that grain. Then, of course, farmers have grown that grain. And they've contributed to us eating the food on this retreat. And of course, a bullock has ploughed that field. And so that bullock is contributed to our retreat. Well, that's just to take one line of connection. Well, just think of that shop where we bought the grain. That shop had to be constructed. Somebody had to make the nails. Somebody had to dig the earth and get the iron from the earth. So for this retreat, millions and millions of people have contributed to it. You'll probably find that in the end, you could connect every single being on this planet with this retreat. And I'm not joking. You can see how somebody's been helped by somebody who's been helped by somebody who's been helped right the way so that everybody's involved. We're all involved with each other. We're all involved with each other. Every one of us is helped in one way or another, directly or indirectly, by everybody else. Even our enemies have helped somebody who's helped us. We're all completely bound up with each other. We don't exist on our own without anybody else's help.
तो हमारा जो अस्तित्व है वो अपने आप अकेले ही नहीं है, किसी के मदद के बिना यह अस्तित्व नहीं हो सकता।
And this is probably more true in this day and age than ever before in human history.
तो इस वक्त मतलब ये बहुत ही बड़ा सत्य है जिसको हम देख सकते हैं।
You'll see in India products from all over the world. You'll see things made in all countries in the world.
तो आप देखते हैं कि भारत में ऐसी चीजें हैं जो बहुत सारे देशों में उसको बनाया जाता है।
So that links you into the whole international system.
तो इस प्रकार से आपका संबंध जो इस सारे मतलब जो रचना है उससे जुड़ जाता है।
So people from all over the world have contributed to your present enjoyment.
तो दुनिया के सभी लोगों ने जो भी जिस चीज का आनंद ले रहे हैं उसमें उनका भी योगदान है।
So we try to think in this way. We try to think of all these people as supporting and helping us. We try to generate a mood of gratitude and appreciation for them. And we therefore try to give them all help and all happiness.
और इसीलिए फिर हम कोशिश कर रहे हैं कि जो भी मदद उनको हम दे सकते हैं, जो भी आनंद उनको हम दे सकते हैं, हम देने का प्रयास करते हैं।
The text, the commentary to the text makes another point.
तो ये जो ग्रंथ है, ग्रंथ की जो भी मतलब समीक्षा है, उसको और एक उदाहरण।
It says, well, you're trying to become a Buddha.
तो आप बुद्धा बनने का प्रयास कर रहे हैं।
Well, what is a Buddha?
अब बुद्धा क्या है?
A Buddha is someone who gains enlightenment in order to help all others.
तो बुद्धा ऐसे व्यक्ति हैं, उन्होंने बुद्धत्व की प्राप्ति की है ताकि औरों को मदद कर सके।
So if you want to be a Buddha, well, you need other beings.
अगर आपको बुद्धा बनना है, तो आपको औरों की आवश्यकता पड़ेगी।
You need merit.
आपको उनके पुण्य की आवश्यकता पड़ेगी।
You need people that you are helping.
तो ऐसे लोग आपको चाहिए जिनको आप मदद कर सकते।
Otherwise, you can't become a Buddha. So you actually need other beings in order to make spiritual progress. This is a quite serious point. If there weren't any other beings, we would just be one big ego. We'd just think the whole world was me. That's probably what we did think when we were little babies. But it's other people who bring us to realize that the world is just not just I. Other beings cause us to rise above our selfish self-identification.
और लोगों ने हमें मदद की है कि जो एक प्रकार का स्वार्थी और स्वयं की पहचान देखता है उसके हम ऊपर उठ सकते।
So when we are saying that we're going to help our mothers, this is what's in the background.
तो जब हम ऐसा करते हैं कि हम अपनी माताओं को मदद कर रहे हैं तो उसकी पार्श्वभूमि इस प्रकार की है।
We're thinking that they could have been our mothers in the past.
तो हम सोचते हैं कि
We're thinking that in many ways, indirectly and directly, they have all helped us. Indeed, they're helping us right now. And then we're thinking that they are offering us the opportunity for gaining enlightenment. And this snaps us out of our selfish mood. Instead of saying, ये कुर्सी मेरे है,
तो इस प्रकार से ये कुर्सी मेरी है ऐसा ना कहते हुए।
I'll translate for the English speakers. This chair is mine. We're saying this is for everybody. We're sharing, we're opening up, we're seeing other people. That kursiwala only saw others as a threat.
तो वो जो खुशी वाला है वो और लोगों को जैसे मानो से खतरा है इस प्रकार से देखा।
The chadar wala, the blanket wala, thought that others were just trying to get the blanket from him.
और जो blanket वाला है वो सोच रहा है कि और लोग जो है उसका blanket लेने की कोशिश कर रहे हैं।
And the pani wala, he thought that people just wanted his pani.
और जो पानी वाला है वो सोच रहा है कि बस लोग तो उसका पानी चाहते हैं।
But the bodhisattva sees that all beings are his mothers.
लेकिन बोधिसत्व देखता है कि सभी लोग जो है उसकी माता है।
You wouldn't try to keep the chair from your mother.
तो अपनी माँ जो है उससे आप कुर्सी जो है वो आप बदल नहीं रखेंगे।
You'd give it to her.
आप उसको दे देंगे।
If she was cold, you'd give her a blanket.
अगर उसको ठंडी लग रही है तो आप उसको ब्लैंकेट देंगे।
If she was thirsty, you'd give her water.
अगर उसको प्यास लग रही है तो आप उसको पानी देंगे।
So you try to think of other beings in this way and change your attitude. So we try to see other people as people who we value and appreciate. And we say that we're going to give them all help and joy. Well, there are many, many opportunities for this throughout the day. All through the day, every day, there are opportunities for us to treat others like our mother. I think it's very good that in the play they chose simple everyday attachments. And it's in the sharing of those, the giving of those, that the help to our mothers really comes. So yes, all the time we can be on the watch how we can help people. And that means just responding to their needs as soon as we see them. That means looking for their needs all the time. As soon as we see that they lack something, we try to help them to get it. Often all they need is somebody to listen to them. They need somebody to support them. But all of that is yes, helping them in a material and an emotional way. But then it says you give them all joy. How can you give people joy? Well, I suppose you could tell funny stories and make them laugh. But that doesn't go very far, that doesn't go very deep. You can, of course, try to be pleasing to them so that they feel the pleasure of your presence. But, of course, the issue goes much deeper than that still. Where does joy come from? Well, this is basic Buddhist teaching. Where does Pramoda come from? Well, it comes from Shila. It comes from us acting skillfully. Joy is the fruit of skillful action. So if we want to bring people all joy, we need to be helping them to act skillfully.
अगर हम लोगों को इस प्रकार से आनंद देना चाहते हैं, तो हम उनको मदद करना चाहिए ताकि कुशल ढंग से वे कर्म कर सकें।
Of course, that means first of all stopping helping them act unskillfully.
अर्थात सबसे पहले ये करना होगा कि जो अकुशल कर्म वे कर रहे हैं, उसको अकुशल कर्म करने से हमें रोकना होगा।
So, for instance, when we tell somebody a rumor, which they then pass on, we've helped them to be unskillful.
अगर आप कोई अफवाह सुनते हैं और फिर वो अफवाह जो है और आगे बढ़ाते हैं, एक प्रकार से अकुशल कार्य करने के लिए हमने उन्हें मदद की।
And sooner or later they will suffer from that unskillfulness.
और फिर कभी ना कभी ये जो अकुशल कर्म होने के आए, उससे उनको दुख मिलेगा।
So we can stop. We need to stop trying to help people to act unskillfully.
तो हमें लोगों को मदद करना पड़ेगा, उन्हें रोकना पड़ेगा अकुशल कर्म करने से।
But yes, we need to be helping them to act skillfully. There's a lot we could say about that, but I'll just make a few brief comments. The first thing we do is show an example of skillful action. Then we just refuse to join in unskillful behavior, but we do it in a skillful way.
तो जो भी मतलब अकुशल मतलब ऐसा बर्ताव है, उसमें हम स्वयं सम्मिलित नहीं होते और ये बात हम बड़े बड़े शब्दों से करते हैं।
So, for instance, somebody tells you a rumor.
तो एक उदाहरण ले लेंगे कोई अफवाह बताता है।
And you say, well, I'm very sorry to hear what you're saying.
फिर आप कहते हैं कि ये सुनकर तो मुझे बहुत ही बुरा लगा।
But do you know whether that's true or not?
लेकिन क्या आप जानते हैं कि ये बात सच है या झूठ है?
And they may say, well, yes, because somebody told me. But you say, but how do you know that they know themselves that it's true? So in a very gentle, very skillful way, you encourage people to check the truth of their story. Of course, the most important thing is communicating the Dhamma to people so that they understand how to act skillfully. So in these and many other ways, we help and bring joy to other people. And we do that directly by responding to the needs that we see them immediately having. And we do it indirectly, for instance, by teaching the Dhamma so that they behave skillfully and gain joy in the future. So that's giving to them help and joy. That's the white light going from your heart into theirs. But then you're also taking all their harm and pain.
लेकिन आप यहाँ उनका जो भी मतलब दर्द है, उनका जो भी मतलब दुख है, वो अपनी तरफ ले रहे हैं।
So what does that mean?
इसका क्या मतलब है?
Well, it means seeing that they're suffering.
इसका मतलब है कि आप देखते हैं कि वे दुख में हैं।
It means opening up to their suffering.
इसका मतलब है कि उनका जो भी दुख है, उसके लिए स्वयं को आप खुला कर रहे हैं।
It means actually recognizing that they are in pain. And empathizing with them. You could even say feeling their pain. Empathy means to feel a response to other people's suffering.
तो इस प्रकार की जो सहानुभूति है, तो एक प्रकार से दूसरा व्यक्ति जो है, उसका जो दुख है, उसको पूरी तरह से महसूस करना।
Well, it means to also respond to their joy.
इसका मतलब ऐसा भी होता है कि उनका जो आनंद है, उसको अपन प्रतिसाद देते।
It means almost to go out of yourself into their feeling. And this is what taking all their harm and pain really means. It means, first of all, being able to feel with them. But in order to do that, well, you need to be quite self-aware. Usually we can't experience other people's feelings because we're so caught up with our own. If you feel unsatisfied and upset and angry and so on, you're not going to notice how others feel. You need, first of all, to recognize your own feelings and deal with the needs that underlie them. If you find that you tend to lack compassion, this is probably where you need to pay attention. You need to be more aware of your own feelings, of your own needs. And you need to be satisfying those needs in a more skillful way. And that leaves you the space to open up to others around you. Then you can respond to their suffering. Now, if you open up to other sufferings in that way, you're going to have to act. I think sometimes we do suddenly realize just how much suffering there is, but it's just overwhelming. Sometimes Westerners say that when they come to India. In India, the suffering is much more open. In England, for instance, suffering goes on, but it's mainly behind people's skulls and inside their houses. But in India, the suffering is there. It's on the street. It's out in front of you. You see people terribly mutilated. You'd see people terribly mutilated. You see people obviously starving. You see people being really badly treated. You see people in rags. And many Westerners say that to begin with, they find that almost overwhelming. But after a few days, you get used to it. And you just stop seeing it. You don't notice that people are suffering. It's too much. You almost can't live seeing that all the time. So how do we stop ourselves from getting pain overload? Well, we need to act. We need to live our lives as a response to the pain and suffering in the world. If we don't act, we just shut down, we stop seeing. Or else we become depressed. So we have to act if we are opening up to other sufferings. And we need to act in a way that we feel is a real response to the sufferings in the world.
तो हमने इस प्रकार से स्थिति करनी चाहिए कि हम देख सकते हैं कि सही में दुनिया में इस प्रकार से दुख है और उसको कविता देने की आवश्यकता है.
This is very strongly represented in the practice that we're doing.
तो एक बार जो साधना हम कर रहे हैं बहुत अच्छे ढंग से इसको बताया गया है.
You're taking in other people's sufferings as that black smoke.
तो आप और लोगों का जो दुख है एक काले धुएं के रूप में उसको अंदर ले रहे हैं.
And you're giving it back as pure white light.
और आप उनको वापस दे रहे हैं शुद्ध जो शुभ्र प्रकाश है उसके रूप में.
And in that exchange you are responding to the sufferings of the world.
और इस प्रकार से जो आदान प्रदान हो रहा है उसमें दुनिया का जो दुख है उसको आप प्रतिशत दे रहे हैं.
When you take in the suffering, your own spiritual aspiration is intensified.
जब आप इस प्रकार से दुख अंदर लेते हैं तो आपकी जो आध्यात्मिक अभिलाषा है उसमें और भी गहराई आती है.
You feel even more strongly that you want to practice spiritual life so that you can help others.
और भी सच्चे रूप से आपको ऐसा लगता है कि आध्यात्मिक जीवन आपने जीना चाहिए ताकि औरों को आप मदद कर सकें.
So your experience of the pain and suffering in the world intensifies your own spiritual aspiration.
और जब इस प्रकार से दुनिया का जो भी दुख है वो दुख आप जब अंदर लेते हैं
it intensifies your own desire to solve the problem of suffering at the root. So because you're taking in the sufferings of others, you give more intensively.
औरों के दुख इस प्रकार से आप लेते हैं तो फिर आप उसको बहुत ही संवेदनशीलता से कुछ देते हैं.
Because you give more intensively, well, you take in more of the sufferings of others.
तो जैसे ही मतलब आप बहुत ही संवेदनशीलता से कुछ देते हैं तो लोगों का और भी जो दुख है वो आप अंदर लेते हैं.
So there's an intensification of your giving.
तो एक प्रकार से आप देते हैं और गहराई से.
So in this way, we generate a stronger and stronger openness to the sufferings of others.
तो इस प्रकार से हम बहुत ही प्रबल रूप से औरों का जो दुख है उसको स्वीकारने के लिए अधिक अधिक हम खुला.
And we do whatever we can to remove their sufferings.
और जो भी दुख है उसको दूर करने के लिए जो संभव है वो करने का हम प्रयास करते
हैं. Especially we respond immediately to those we see around us in suffering.
और खास करके जो हमारे आसपास है और दुख में है तो उनके दुखों को हम उसी की क्षण प्रतिशत देते हैं.
But above all, we commit ourselves more and more deeply to the Bodhisattva path.
लेकिन इससे भी मतलब ऊपर की बात ये है कि हम अधिक अधिक जो बोधिसत्व का मार्ग है उसके लिए कटिबद्ध हो.
Only the Dhamma can solve the problem of suffering.
केवल धम्म ही है जो उस प्रकार के दुख की जो समस्या है उसको थोड़ा सा.
Suffering is limitless. No amount of social work, no amount of political activity can solve the problem of suffering. In the end, the problem of suffering is only solved in the mind by the Dhamma.
तो अंततः ये जो दुख की समस्या है ये मन में है और मन की जो दुख की समस्या है उसको ही मतलब पहले थोड़ा ना.
So we commit ourselves to practicing the Dhamma in order to solve the problem of suffering for all.
और इस प्रकार से हर एक का जो दुख है वो दुख दूर करने के लिए हम और भी हमारे आध्यात्मिक जीवन के लिए कटिबद्ध हो.
So this practice we've been doing, the development of the bodhicitta, is a very important one indeed.
तो बोधिचित्त जो साधना हम लोग कर रहे हैं ये बहुत ही महत्वपूर्ण है साधना.
And we can be doing it all the time.
तो हम हर समय कर सकते हैं.
We don't just have to wait until we're sitting down in the meditation.
तो ध्यान के लिए बैठने की मतलब के लिए राह देखने की आवश्यकता नहीं.
When you're on the train, when you're on the railway station, you can be practicing.
तो जब आप ट्रेन में हैं, रेलवे स्टेशन पर हैं, आप इसकी साधना कर सकते हैं.
You can be trying to open up to the pain and suffering you see all around you.
तो आप स्वयं को खुला कर सकते हैं आपके आसपास जो भी दुख और दर्द आप देखते हैं उसके लिए खुला कर सकते हैं.
And intensifying your own spiritual commitment.
और आपका जो आध्यात्मिक कटिबद्धता है उसको और भी आप गहरा ले रहे हैं.
And it says you do this secretly.
और एक हमारे यहाँ वो तो गुप्त
you don't put on a badge saying, I'm taking on the sufferings of the world. You don't wear a t-shirt with give me all your suffering on it. You just keep trying to open up to the real pain and suffering that is in the world and intensify your spiritual practice. And on the basis of that spiritual practice, you try to help others. So, one more verse, and I'll deal with this a little bit more briefly. In a way, it's the most profound of the verses altogether. But it's quite simple. May none of this ever be sullied by thoughts of the eight worldly concerns. May I see all things as illusions, and without attachment gain freedom from bondage. So, first of all, we do all this without thought of the eight worldly concerns. You remember the eight worldly concerns are wealth and poverty. Happiness and suffering. Praise and blame. Fame and infamy. We don't think, I will practice like this, then I will make merit and get a lot of money. I will practice like this and then I will be very happy. I'll practice like this and people will praise me as a great bodhisattva. I'll practice like this and one day there will be a book all about me. There'll be my statue in the middle of Bordaran shrine room. And people will say, Namo, my name. So, we don't practice for that sake. Or we don't do it in order to escape from the opposites. Now, probably if we're honest, all of us are a little bit interested in all these. And, well, I certainly find these thoughts come into my mind. You just start thinking, well, you know, if I practice like this, maybe I'll be employed by TBMSG for a bit longer. If I practice like this. Maybe if I practice like this, I'll be elected chairman. Maybe if I practice like this, I'll get to drive, to have access to the Jeep. So we think in terms of what we can get from it. And this is inevitable. After all, we've all still got egos. So inevitably we will think a bit like this. And the main thing is to notice that you're doing it and to laugh. You just notice, I'm thinking like that. Never mind. But this won't really get me the bodhisattva mind. Which do I want? Do I want to be rich and famous? or do I want to be a bodhisattva? Of course, you can be both, but it's more difficult. And really, you have to aim at just being a bodhisattva. So often, if we're rich and famous, we just forget about the bodhisattva life. It actually costs a lot of work to be rich and famous. You have to work really hard to be rich and famous. And you probably won't have time for exchanging self and other. So you need to just notice these tendencies to the worldly winds. We can be honest. We all feel them. Sometimes we want these things. And they're not really bad. But they're not the best thing that we can aim for. And they destroy the best. So we just need to notice that we think like this and laugh. And just think, well, this is what beings long for, but it doesn't bring them lasting happiness. We need to go much deeper in our understanding of life. So the text says, may I see all things as illusions. So even those things that we want, if we want fame, it's an illusion. That wealth, it's an illusion. Well, in what sense is it an illusion? Well, it's an illusion in that it's impermanent and insubstantial, anatman. It's not permanent. It's not secure. At any point it can be taken away. And it's conditioned, it's dependent. So it's not really substantial for our minds. All these things are, in the traditional terms, shunya, they're empty. In traditional terms, they're not safe refuges. So then the text says we should think of them as illusions. And without attachment, gain freedom from bondage. It's because we don't recognize that things are illusions that we're attached to them. And that leaves us in bondage. That leaves us in the prison of samsara. That leaves us open all the time to pain and suffering. So our suffering ultimately comes from our ignorance of the real nature of our experience. Our avidya leads us to the viparyasas. We think that things are permanent, when they're really impermanent. We think of things as having reality when they're really unreal. We think of things as blissful when they're really a source of suffering, when we crave them. We think of things as beautiful and attractive when really, comparatively speaking, they're ugly. And because we've misunderstood things, we crave them. We think we can be happy if we have those things. Because we crave, we suffer. So the text says, undo all that. It says, we'll just respond to the sufferings of living beings. Get a new mind and just act without any thought of self-interest. So you could say that the text has a twofold approach. It says, first of all, just rise above your normal attitude. Act as if beings were your mothers. Give them all happiness and joy. Take all their pain and suffering. So this is the daily practice that you undertake. But you also need to be reflecting. If you like, you need to be reflecting on the lakshanas. You have to be reflecting that all these things are ultimately unreal. You need to be reflecting on the limitations, even the faults of samsara. So you practice openness and help to other beings. And you reflect on the lakshanas. And in this way, you develop the new mind of the Bodhisattva. And you remember where we started? We started with the blaming, complaining mind. This is the sign that you need a new mind. This is the sign that you need a new mind. Well, you know, if you've got a motorbike, there are signs that you need a new engine. You see lots and lots of black smoke coming out of the exhaust. Just like the Bordaran car. Lots and lots of thick black smoke comes out of the exhaust pipe. Well, that's blaming and complaining. So if lots of black smoke comes out of your mouth, that means you need a new engine. Well, that means a new mind. So, the first sign that you need a new mind is blaming and complaining.
तो पहला संकेत हमें मिलता है कि जब हमारा मन इस प्रकार से दोष देता है, शिकायत करता है, वही नए मन की आवश्यकता होती।
You need to go straight to the garage.
तो आपको सीधा गैरेज में जाना पड़ेगा।
That's the shrine room, of course.
और मुझे लगता है कि अर्थात यह हमारा पूजा स्थान होता है।
And you need to go in for a service.
और फिर वहाँ आप अपने मतलब अपने सर्विस करते हैं।
That means meditation.
इसका अर्थ होता है कि आप ध्यान करते हैं।
And develop a new mind.
और वहाँ नए मन का विकास।
And then when you come out, no smoke.
और जब आप बाहर आते हैं तो धुआं नहीं।
In fact, you're taking in other people's smoke.
और फिर औरों का जो धुआं है वो आप लेते हैं।
And you're transforming that smoke.
और ये जो धुआं है इसमें आप परिवर्तन लाते हैं।
So if you're blaming and complaining, this is your sign that you've got to act.
अगर आप दोष दे रहे हैं और शिकायत कर रहे हैं तो संकेत है कि किस चीज की अभी अभी आवश्यकता है।
You need to do this exchange of your happiness with the pain of others.
तो इस प्रकार से मतलब आपका जो सुख है उसको बढ़ाना है और औरों का जो दर्द है उसको लेना है।
And you need to reflect more deeply on the lakshanas.
और ये जो लक्षण है इसके ऊपर आपको गहराई से चिंतन करना।
And in a sense, this is all quite simple. But I really feel we need to make a big effort to break through this complaining, blaming mind. And Geshe Langri Tampa has made it very clear what we've got to do. We need to really change our minds, develop a new mind in the way that he suggests. So I'd like to see whether my five friends have managed to develop a new mind. There was a lot of black smoke coming from them at the beginning. So I'd like to see whether there's some pure white light coming from them now. So we'll just watch the second part of their play. And then I'll come back for 5 minutes and just talk to you about the groups and about tomorrow. So it all turned out well in the end. They responded to each other's needs. And they overcame their selfish attachment. And it's in the end as simple as that. The bodhisattva attitude is a matter of an immediate change in our behavior towards those around us. So in this retreat so far, we've gone quite deeply. And we've looked at a very important text. And we've got some experience of developing this new mind. Now I imagine that there are some things that are not completely clear from what we've discussed over the last 5 days. So in tomorrow's session, I will answer some questions. If you could write those questions down, that would be best. Could you? Yeah. If you give them to Amoga Siddhi, he will translate them for me. And then tomorrow morning I will answer them. If you could do it so that I get them before the puja, I will look at them tonight. And arrange them in some sort of order. So please give them to Amoga Siddhi in good time so he's got time to translate them for me.
तो कृपया मुझसे के पास वो अच्छे समय में दीजिए ताकि वे उसका अनुवाद कर सकें.
And tomorrow in the groups, I'll be suggesting that you make some new resolutions. So I suggest that from now till then, you're thinking about that. I know that many of you have found this a very useful process. In the team leaders meeting at the start, we found that probably about 50% of those who took resolutions had tried to follow them. A few people couldn't remember the resolutions. Well, that's not surprising. Sometimes we go from the retreat and, well, life is very, very difficult and overwhelming. But nonetheless, I think it is very helpful to try. Often our spiritual life is very vague. We feel we are committed to the three jewels, but we don't really have any direct aim in our lives. We're just sort of surviving day by day. But if you do pick a few things that you're going to work on more intensively, you will make spiritual progress. And I talked of it as a bit like spiritual weightlifting. Weightlifting, weight training. If you just lift small weights to begin with, your muscles grow. And eventually you'll be able to lift very heavy weights indeed. And having resolutions helps you to direct yourself in this way. So I suggest that you do this. It's up to you. You're free to do what you like. It's your life, not mine. But if you want to, there's a good opportunity tomorrow in your group to do so. I always say it's important to pick things that you really could do. There's no point in saying, I will save all sentient beings tomorrow. You probably wouldn't be able to do it. It might take you a few more days to save them all. So, choose something you really can do. Meditate every day, for instance. But pick the things that you think you can do, that you want to do, and that will help you to grow spiritually. So if you want to, you can be thinking about that in the next 24 hours. In the groups today, I've got some suggestions what you could do. You could, again, just report in a little bit on the silence. I know some people feel they're not quite sure what they're doing in the silence. So if you're unsure about how to work with silence, well, you could discuss that in your group. And then secondly, you can look at how you're doing with this development of a new mind.
और दूसरी बात आप ये कार्य किस प्रकार से आपका चलता है?
How are you doing with cherishing others?
और आपकी देखभाल करना किस प्रकार से आपका है?
And then thirdly, any issues to do with your reactions to others that you want to talk about.
और फिर आपका ऐसा कोई मुद्दा है जैसे औरों के प्रति कोई आपका प्रतिक्रिया है जिसके ऊपर आपका कार्य करना?
That is talk about so that you can get help in having a non-blaming, non-complaining approach to them.
तो आप इसके ऊपर बात कर सकते हैं ताकि ये जो दोष देने वाला शायद देने वाला नहीं है उसको शायद ना देने वाला ना दोष देने वाला नहीं है हम परिवर्तित कर सकते हैं.
So that you can work more skillfully with them later.
तो ये बहुत ही कुशलता से इसके ऊपर होने का कार्य करना.
And here you could use role play if you've got the time and you feel like doing it. And fourthly, you could begin to look at resolutions. You could discuss with the others what you've learned about yourself and where you feel you'd like to work more. So four things. First of all, how you're doing with silence. Secondly, how you're doing with developing the attitude of cherishing others, the new mind. Thirdly, any issues in your life that you'd like to work on to try to develop a new mind in relation to. And fourthly, what you've learned about your mind so that you can begin thinking about resolutions. And don't forget, let's keep really good silence until this time tomorrow.
इस बात का मतलब ये है कि कल तक सबको इसी प्रकार का जो हमारा माहौल है वो बनाया जाए.